We're live. Welcome to Airbnb Theories. Today we're discussing. I don't know. What are we discussing?
We are recording. We're doing the things. The show must go on.
Oh, okay.
The show must go on.
Oh my! It must.
I mean, it doesn't have to, but.
Oh, okay. Nah, it probably should, right?
You know, it's I don't know where I'm going with that.
Oh, Joan.
Oh, Moose.
Mm-hmm. How we doing?
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm passionate about many things today, but I'm doing good.
We just did this, though. We already know how we're doing today, so.
Wait, we do? Oh, nice.
Or we did this many times today, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what's weird? I connected everything up. I hit record. And I was like, wait, it's too dark. I was like, I got to turn on my lights. And then I'm like, no, Jonah, that's for video. There's no, we're not doing, it's okay if it's a little dark.
Everything will be fine.
Exactly. Is this it? Is this a podcast?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
That's depends, cool. though. Depends. Oh, I launched this without, that's what happened.
What? Stop launching things.
Oh, also, yeah, we're recording now? Are we diving in? What are we doing here? Are we doing an episode? Is that what we're doing?
No, we're not. No, this is...
Oh, okay.
Goodbye, Boos.
What are we doing? It's just a me and you episode, yeah?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay, good, beautiful.
It's just us.
No, I was messing around with something and been messing around with... I haven't had issues or anything like that. Well... too many, but I was messing around with something in City Skylines, and then I realized that I forgot something to mess with. You know,
when is there not a problem in City Skylines?
Yeah, it's the God. I love this game. I love it so much, Jonah.
It's a great game. It's wonderful, just like this podcast. Hi, everyone.
Jonah, how was your week? What'd you get up to? What'd you do?
Most.
How's New York City?
New York City is fine. It's fine.
Did you know that Jonah lives in New York City?
Doxing, but you know, no, it's fine. I have been doing a lot of work, like work, and. I have been struggling with City Skylines this week because it was crashing.
Dive
a lot.
Into it a bit. It's been a hell of a week, eh?
You know, the long and short of it is I don't know why it was crashing, but for whatever reason, on stream yesterday, I streamed for 6 hours and it didn't crash once, which is the longest I've been able to play the game in the last few weeks without it crashing. So I have no idea what happened. And... did I have mods update? Yeah, but the mods that updated, I don't think, had any problem with the crashing. So, here we are. And now, I realized that all the path units were being used in the game. Because if you have... is it Prop Anarchy? I think it's Prop Anarchy added that ability that CSL More Limits does. Which it shows you all the limits in the game, like your... building limits and your segment limits and your node limits and all those. So there's a pathing limit, which is basically how many paths that are allowed to be generated and simulated in the game. And by the default, the game I think is 260 something thousand. The more path units mod raises it to 500,000. And which actually I'm not even 100% sure. Actually, I should probably just remove that from the conversation because from what I gather from the conversation that I've seen online, the more path units mod is not the problem. It's just that I think people were using it because they thought that that would fix the problem that they were having, and it wasn't. And it's the same problem that I've just recently noticed. I noticed it yesterday on stream, at the end of the stream, which is that it was maxing out the 524,000 pathing units that were available, and nothing that, and I was like, no, because I only have 200,000 people, and I've never, like, I've, if anything, the citizen units was the thing that I was maxing out before, and I can still get kind of close, even with the mod that extends that limit. But pathing units, the 524,000 should be way more than enough, even for a car heavy. Yeah, like it should be more than enough. And the long and short of it is that with the plazas and promenades DLC, or promenades and plazas, whatever it's called, that DLC, the latest
plazas and pomegranates, yeah,
exactly, yes.
Okay.
There's a bug where if you place a pedestrian area service building inside of a pedestrian area, I don't know, maybe it's just if you just place it, there's a memory leak and it just spams the units and it doesn't release them. And the thing is if, from what I understand, that happens even when you don't have the mod. There is a the more path unit mod. There is a thread on the Paradox forums that I saw that was linked from the discussion of the more path units mod in the workshop, where someone has posted that they are having the problem, and they only have 4 mods. And none of them have anything to do with more vehicles or more path units or more citizens. Nothing. It's just they're having the problem. And so in the discussion thread for the more path units mod, someone mentioned, I think it was either Algonon or Chameleon, someone in there mentioned that they're aware of it and they're looking into it, as far as like how, like what to do about it. Not the mod, but the game developers are looking into it. Because it's not the mod is not the problem. And I guess what was happening is people were having the problem, they were realizing what it was, and then they probably were like, oh, I remember there being a mod for this, or oh, but you know, however that they ended up on there. They probably subbed to the mod thinking that they just needed to expand the limit, and then they loaded the game and it just reached that limit too. I think I saw someone saying that in the discussion thread, that they had added it, it just went up to the limit again. And of course, someone asked if they would they consider raising the limit again. And of course, Algonon's like, no, because that's not. They're like, especially not. They're like, especially with this issue, you know. No, I'm not raising the limit until the issue is resolved.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I mean, they didn't say this, but I'm assuming it's like maybe after that you would consider it, but of course not, because raising limits are not a problem if you have a leak somewhere. There's some sort of leak with the building, and I'm mad at myself because I've been playing Portland for forever. And I've only recently put a service building in it. So
And so what does that mean for you? What's that looking like for you now?
For me, I'm probably going to start a new city.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have it.
Start a new city and diversify my game playing, so that way I'm not super invested in one thing at once and then have something just completely, you know, kind of stop everything. Because
this new city, will it be a YouTube Let's Play?
Moose, what are you trying to do to me?
Anyways,
what are you trying to do? There's so many Let's Plays. What is required in a Let's Play anyway? What do you do in a Let's Play? What do you just
remove,
like,
all mods and play vanilla?
Really? Is that what people do?
Really? Yeah, probably. I mean, is that what people do? Yes. On YouTube? Yes.
Okay, well, that's not for me.
Yeah, exactly. Same here.
I don't mind playing modded on stream or by myself, but I'm not going to do it to an audience like that. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
What is mainly because it's been 18 years. What hasn't been done in Cities Vanilla yet?
Dude, I know. That's kind of how I feel as well, too. It's like, you look at a game that's, yeah, I mean, how old is the game now, right? And it's very much so like that. It's like, what has it been put out there? You know, like, what isn't out there? Like, everything's out there. You know what I mean? Well, like,
the one thing that I can say is, like, you mm-hmm. know, just super, super realistically done or detailed roads and other stuff in the game, because a lot of those mods haven't matured until within the last year or two.
Yeah.
You know, with like node controller renewal and yeah. with, you know, some limits being raised, more vehicles, which actually is a couple years old now. With just like, there's all kinds of It took a little bit of I think probably really the major one is for me is node controller, and intersection marking tool, because now like all your, even if you could have gotten the detail a little bit before and you could have faked it, and you know, the detailing for like everything else has already kind of been there,
yeah.
like buildings and stuff,
right.
Like roads never really had that final thing there until recently. So, because a lot of people focused on everything else and trains and stuff. So,
right. Yeah. That's true. But yeah, with the Let's Play,
I feel.
Yeah. No. That's spot on. Yeah, because with the Let's Play, it's like it is quite saturated. You know. It's very it's full. Well, it's very full, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm probably gonna put Portland on hold, because it's not that I don't want to finish Portland. I actually desperately want to finish Portland, and I've been putting a push on trying to finish it. That right. I think what I'm gonna do is I'm going to put a hold in it, because I don't want to keep building in the city and then either a fix never be found, or a fix found, but it causes that to break. And I'm already,
yeah.
and I don't want to put more work into it when, you know, it, you know, so, you know, if I start a new city, the one thing that I'm not going to do is have a pedestrian area with service buildings, because it breaks the game.
Yeah. Now kinda we, now we know.
Seems like a big one, huh? That seems like a big one. You know,
yeah, it's hefty.
It's a little like how I wish I could. Well, actually, I can find it real quick. If I just go to the discussion for more path units, and then yep, here is a Paradox Forum post for the, it's called the Crazy Head Gamer. They posted in the Paradox Forums, and
right.
They basically listed the problem that I just explained. Yeah. But their city only has 65,000 citizens, and they have 3 pedestrian zones. They are using Traffic Manager, Move It, Node Controller, and Vanilla Road Plus Pack. That's it. So, so why?
Why? Yeah. That's frustrating, but okay, you know, it's frustrating, but at the same time, I can't help but be excited to see what you do with a new city.
No, Moose, we are gutted and we are upset. We are upsetty spaghetti.
Yeah, except that I'm excited.
We are upsetty spaghetti.
And yeah, I'm excited. It's I will say this. I'm just going to throw this out there. Would be excited to see, you know, because you start something new, you do what inspires you, right?
Uh-huh.
You do you. But I'm just saying, I don't think I've seen, you know, a East Coast Jonah City.
Well, I can already tell you what the city is going to be. The city is going to be, what if America never did highways?
Well, see, there's an issue there. That Jonah, are you okay? You feeling okay?
That's it. Which is really, really kind of annoying, because I was going to do a lot of pedestrian areas in it. But I can also do all of that stuff without the DLC content, because I did it without the DLC content before, so there's no reason why I can't do it now. It was nice because I do like some of the pedestrians, and you know, it's a base game mechanic. But you know what? Here you go. This is one of the reasons why base game stuff is not necessarily better than modded stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
Well, I'm excited nonetheless. It's very... Yeah, I'm excited, you know, to see what you do, see what Jonah does, you know, next. I just get very excited for the starts of your cities, because you're extremely talented at the game.
That's all I have to say about that.
I mean, hey, you know what? We got to look at the positives. Game didn't crash yesterday, so that's something positive, you know?
That is a positive. That should not... That's a low bar, though.
Well...
That's a really low bar. So what did you do yesterday? It's like, well, I played a game without it crashing. Ooh, listen, yay.
For us Skyliners, that's a pretty...
Oh my god, anyways. Yay.
I don't know. That's exciting to me, you know?
Or do you have anything that you're passionate about this week?
What's on my mind today? I don't want to spoil anything for YouTube content or anything like that, but there's a couple things that might be... that I might be passionate about.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay.
anything that won't spoil YouTube content?
Yo, there was... So, I was... yesterday, I was watching this streamer by the name of the Jonah, and then I had to take off to go film some stuff. And I was filming some of the bike lanes, and there's... It's so ridiculous. It's like... So you got these bike lanes that are... They're marked, but we do ours where it's like... concrete, and it's only green, right, with like the classic like bike painted green, right, at intersections or points where cars would interact with the bike lane. So like an alleyway cutout, right, that the bike lane that's in front of that would be marked green. So fair enough, you know, that's just concrete, maybe people don't know. But I was watching these, so I was filming, and I ended up filming this. It was super funny. But yeah, there's this guy just, so he's standing talking to the bus driver, who I assume is on like a break or something, right? And is standing with his, he's got this really big, not briefcase. What they called? The suitcase. You know, the one with the wheels that people bring to airports?
It's called a carry-on.
Cool. So that one with wheels. And
or a suitcase. That works too.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So he's got his suitcase, right? And it's blocking the bike lane. And so these cyclists are biking down there, right? And an e-scooter, man. E-scooters are popping off in this city, my God. But so they are honking their horns or ringing their bells, right? The classic cyclist bell, right? Mm-hmm. And so he moves out of the way. But out of the way for him is... like out of the lane, so it's a two-way lane, and he's in one of them. He moves just into the other lane that's not in the way of the people that were honking at him, but he's still blocking now another lane, the bike lane. Now there was nobody coming at the time, so I went up to this. So I'm filming, right, and I go up to this gentleman. I'm like, hey, listen. You know that you can stand, you can continue your conversation, you know, with the lovely bus driver here, but you know, you can just move out of the way, right? Like, just, there's a sidewalk for pedestrians, just stand there, dude. There's plenty of space for you, and it's at a bus stop, so it's like the sidewalk for pedestrians is bigger, you know what I mean? Like, there's more space because it's cut out for or made for the bus stop, right? And
you've just explained city life. Like,
yeah, for sure. I saw it and I was like, oh my god, yeah, probably that's like, that's nothing in New York City.
It doesn't make it any better,
yeah.
I know what you mean, though. I'm just, yeah, was, a little bit,
so that, you know, that's a, it made me think, though, like, in that short time that I was out, like, people in cars, not all of them, But a lot, well, you know, not even just people in cars either. People don't really give a damn about bike lanes. So that's what's been on my mind.
Of course not.
That's what's grinding my gears.
Unless you're in, you know, what some YouTubers would refer to as God's gift to humanity is Amsterdam. But I guess other than that, you know, it's probably going to be the same in a lot of places. So
yeah, I'd imagine so. I would imagine so, yeah.
I guess that's why in a lot of places they're trying to do dedicated bike lanes. I mean, even here, they're trying to do bike lanes where they're bi-directional and they are blocked off. You know, they have like a curb separator or just something that separates it from traffic. On some streets here, they are taking one parking side and moving all the parking and just putting in a bike lane like that there. So the street has, like, the street would normally be four lanes where it's two lanes in one direction and then parking on each side. And they're just taking one side of parking and just making it for bikes. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, you know, I don't know. We do need to obviously get off of dependence of vehicles just in general, like not just gas burning ones, because anything that requires any kind of resource gathering and putting together is going to have some sort of carbon footprint, you know. But people think that it's, you know, bikes are the answer, and it's just like, I guess ideally it would be that you just wouldn't even need anything like that. Like, you would just walk to wherever you would go. Like, at the same time that they're doing that, like, we do, even in New York, we have a lot of sidewalks even in Manhattan, that are barely walkable, because, you know, it's sort of like an old problem where it's the way that the homes and the businesses are designed, where they cut into the sidewalk a lot, or there's like a tree planter or something, where it reduces the sidewalk from what should be a wide one, where like at least two people could walk side by side.
Right.
It's down to one person because it has to go around a tree or it has to go around a stoop. Yeah. It's like,
Interesting. Because
it's in areas that are like historically, I guess, higher in
income. Oh, yeah.
The stoop needed to be closer to the road, so that way it's next to where the driver would pick you up. Because why would you walk? Please.
Yeah, walking's... No, yeah.
The sidewalk should be as small as possible because the peasants use them, and at least they have a sidewalk. At least it's paved.
Yeah, exactly. It's the... Oh my god, the peasants. Not the peasants. Oh, Jonah. Not the peasants.
Not my views, but, you know.
Yeah, not yours, but they are some. Or some, yeah, someone's. Well,
I think that's the history of it. That's why the stoops are so long and close to the street, and why there's trees, because it's people hostile, because it's that thought, the thought that you wouldn't be using the sidewalk anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're... If you're not like there mentally, I guess. I don't know. That came out wrong. That's not what I wanted to say. It's because I'm not here mentally. So this is what happens when we record late.
Yeah, late in the day. If it's not noon, what are we doing?
If it's not noon for me, but or 3 o'clock. Yeah. If it's not the middle of the day, my brain is off and I'm just sort of like in the mode of like, okay, I'm ready to like wind down. Sunday evenings are like wind down for me, and I generally don't like doing much. Then it's like chilling.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's just, it's good. But yeah, that's pretty much that's pretty much what's been on my mind. That, and then of course, Vancouver just went through a new mayoral election, so that's cool. You guys already started backpedaling on most of their promises, or his promises, so that's
That's cool. What we were expecting.
Oh, also, it was like super funny, but like, so the host is first, conference, right? And he's like, okay, my first duty for the city is we're going to hire 100 police officers and 100 nurses. And then a follow-up question was asked from the media that was there is like, okay, where are these people coming from? Like, how are you doing this? How is this going to happen? He's like, I don't know, but that's what I'm going to do. And it's like, ah, okay, cool. And then, you know, so no idea where these people are coming from. That's good. But you're going to hire 100 more of police and nurses? Okay, cool.
He said, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was stuttering. Oh, my God. He was stuttering over so many questions. And instantly, I'm like, huh. My reassurance is non-existent at this point. It was rough. It was a not so good conference.
It's weird. It's like,
yeah,
we know that politicians lie.
Oh, but yeah,
we're
for sure.
Still caught off guard when they're caught in it.
I know. It's because, like, not to say, like, he seemed like a nice guy, right? And it's not saying he's not. It's just the first thing. Right, he's not even in office yet because you get elected and then there's the crossover period, right? So it's like, okay, here's the handoff from the old to the new, right? And that hasn't even happened yet, and already you're gonna backpedal on things like that's hey.
I mean, listen, how does the saying go? The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Which, yeah, I don't judge, you know, don't judge by its cover, right? But
yeah, that doesn't mean that he's going to hell. It just means that, or that he even believe in that. It just means that, like, the saying still stands.
Yeah.
Good intentioned people will disappoint you or fall short or,
oh yeah,
you know, just things like that happen. And
so, yeah, it's fun. It's a good time here. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens when he gets into office and whatnot. It'll be an interesting time, right? And we talked about this on the podcast before, but it's just an interesting time in the city here because you've got, it's just a lot going on, right? I mean, yesterday I was in the neighborhood of, and it's an area that I've spent a lot of time, you know, living around. It's just an area that you go to. Like, if you live in the downtown, you'll probably frequent it, but we have an area known as East Hastings, and it's just a very, the street's called East Hastings, so it's called the downtown east side. But yeah, it's an interesting time now. You know, we're living in a city where it's 36%, the random attacks have increased by 36% this year alone. And so it's an interesting landscape that we've got right now, especially random attacks are up by 36% in Vancouver. Yeah.
Oh.
And we're talking like random attacks where attacker, yeah, it's random, right? It's not provoked in the sense of like, this is a targeted attack. It's a, like, it's at random, and it's pretty interesting. Like, in not a good way. Right. But it's very interesting to see. And, you know, you got stuff like that. You've got, you know, businesses are, I think the increase is at 31% of, you know, businesses in this area now are getting, you know, vandalized or experiencing crime. And yeah, it's a very, I don't know, it's an interesting time. So now you've got this transfer, you know, a mayoral transfer, right? And obviously there's many levels that go into the government and into things that happen, right? But, you know, mayor is one of the bigger parts in it, right? And so it'd be very interesting to see, because that's been on the minds of a lot of people now, is like, what are we doing about this? Like what's happening? Because people don't feel safe. You know what I mean? Like people don't feel safe. People aren't going out. Like, I went to a concert in the downtown east side, because there's a lot of more indie, you know, I wouldn't call them dive bars, but, you know, indie music venues, right? Where you'd see a more local band play, right? And a lot of them are in that area, and you leave the venue and it's like, you know, maybe midnight, who knows how long the show goes for, right? And yeah, people are just like, it doesn't feel safe going out there anymore, right? Like you're looking over your shoulder, you're constantly aware, which is not a bad thing, you know, to be aware of your surroundings, but it's different. It's not like, it's not the place that I moved to many years ago, where like I had been, like there was a friend of mine that owned owned and operated a karaoke bar in that area as well. And so we would stay after hours after the restaurant and bar shuts down, right? And we would all hang out after hours, you know, none of us work in the next day, and we'd stay up until, you know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and then leave. And, you know, we've all had drinks, right? And we're stumbling around what is now a very dangerous area, but then, you know, still looked similar. yet it's 3-4 a.m. and we feel comfortable, like some of us would just walk home alone, you know what I mean, through that area, mm-hmm. and intoxicated, and nothing ever happened, you know. And so it's very, yeah, it's, and pandemic hit a lot of cities hard. It's
do you feel like the problem has gotten worse since the pandemic?
Yeah, for sure. And the statistics do align with that.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's,
I mean, that's gonna kill a city, because if you don't feel safe, you know, being out, you don't go out, you don't patronize, people don't make money, things close.
100%. And that's, people, you know, that's work. The part that, exactly, right? And that's the part that sucks the most. It's like, because there's a lot of, you know, because of the area, if you're a small business owner, or you're like, you're you know, running a restaurant, right? But you're a local mom and pop shop, you're not a chain. You can afford to be in, you know, a somewhat high traffic area, in that area, in the downtown east side. Not that it's affordable. A lot, nothing in the city is affordable at the rate things are going, but it's more obtainable to people, right? And then, yeah, that's exactly what you see, though, right? Is these shops are just closing down. People don't want to come out there. People don't feel safe. Even just walking around there, like filming yesterday, it's interesting how it's changed. My God, has it changed, though? And like in the last 2 years since the pandemic started, hot damn, it's fallen off the side of a cliff.
What do you think? Why do you think that nothing is done about it? What is the problem that, you know, allows governments to just see that happen and not effectively address the problem with homelessness?
So I'm not saying that this is their mentality, but, you know, this is what it seemingly is their mentality. It's that they'll address it in, you know, to the media, right? And they'll be like, this is our number one priority. We're looking at affordable housing. The biggest issue right now is that the way that the city has gone to approach this stuff is not ideal. They approach it through a safe supply mentality. So the biggest thing in the downtown east side is overdoses.
Well, but that's for the drug problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
It's Yeah.
It's just more of like, but that's clearly not, like, I guess I'm not necessarily looking for an answer. I guess it's kind of rhetorical, but, or more of like what your opinion is. I mean, I don't know if I have any opinion on it, but I'm just curious. Like, why? We know it's a problem. We can see it. And in fact, in places like Vancouver, it's gotten so bad that you can't even walk past. Like, how does the problem get that bad in 2022? You know?
Yep. And it's only getting, honestly, this is how it feels, being that, like, so it's an area that I frequent, and it feels right now as if each month is worse than the last. Like, each month is just getting more and more intense. Like, you have, like, that's, so for example, worse. There's a, oh yeah, for sure. Because you, and then you couple that, right, with that area being, and it's not just that area, but the increase in random stranger attacks. Like, there was one recently, a guy goes to a Tim Hortons, right, is waiting in line. Some guy turns around and just stabs him. No reason. Almost kills the guy. The guy, luckily, you know, recovered and whatnot. But you get stuff like that happening. And now what we're seeing happen a lot as well, too, is with these random attacks. Like, they're just happening. It doesn't matter if it's daylight, nighttime. At any time, you could be the target of a random attack. It's wild. Like, it's happening in broad daylight now, at an very alarming rate, too. And it's intense, man. It's very, like, I don't know, it never felt like, it just doesn't, it's not the city that I lived in anymore, you know. It feels very, and like, mm-hmm. I think the scariest thing coming out of it too is that this can happen anywhere. Like, you'd like to think
everywhere,
and it is, exactly, like, and you'd like to think, like, or their mentality, and this definitely relates to the government, because this is their mentality, is that, and it definitely was the mentality of the mayor, or our past mayor, is that it's just one area. It's just confined to one area. Nope, we've got it confined to the downtown east side. Everything's fine. These random attacks. We live in the greatest city ever. Vancouver's the best city in North America. It's fine, right? It's all, you know, rainbow and roses if you don't go to the downtown east side. Then you have a lady walking in, I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's just outside of Kitsilano. But you have a lady walking in what is a well-off area. Like, you can afford to live there if you make, you know, millions every year. And so she's walking down the street, randomly gets attacked.
So middle class these days.
Yeah, exactly. So middle class neighborhood, yeah. And
$3 million home, two bedroom, one bath.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it would be
one car garage.
Those ones, yeah, no garages out there. Vancouver, actually, we don't really have homes with garages.
No garage. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's super interesting the way
it gets better the more we talk about it.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like no garages, but you do have street parking. Some of them have garages in the back, which lead out to like an alley. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those houses, it's like, yeah, it's just street parking. Yeah, it's just walking down the sidewalk home from work and just gets attacked out of nowhere. And it's like, what is happening? I mean, I notice it too, going to the gym that I go to is, yeah, just it's intense. It's very intense. Like, I'm walking through.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And how did we get here? It's so, I wonder why too, it seems that the problem is more acute or more visibly acute on the West Coast, because LA has the problem, famously. San Francisco also has a problem.
I thought LA is flawless, though.
Oh, we all know LA is not flawless. even Angelinos know that. But
hey, yo.
Hey. I went to Silicon Valley before the pandemic, and I was driving along a street and I noticed there was a lot of cars parked in the street, and I was like, that's interesting, there's a lot of, you know, not only is there a lot of street parking, but there's a lot of people using it. And then I slowly started realizing that wasn't people parked, that was people's lives, there's people living in their cars and in vans, Winnebagos and stuff. And I'm just like, why I don't understand.
Yep, exactly.
And it's like, and who are these people, right? Who, because it seems like, at least in some cases, for, there's homes and apartments being built, but they're really expensive, so you got to have a lot of money to get into them now. We all know the whole song and dance. And we know that there was like a rash of, corporations buying out the homes and stuff and then leasing them out either to employees or to other people. But there are also, it seems like that there are a lot of people who are actually buying these. Like,
yeah, yep.
Like people.
Yep.
And renting them. Yes. And where did I miss something where I was supposed to make millions of dollars a year just to be able to afford what was supposed to be as a regular house, you know, back in the, I'm dating myself here, the 80s and the 90s. So
that's not,
it all started.
That doesn't equal 21.
We're not doing this again. We know. Anyways, I'm just making a point here. You know, it's like, how is it that we have to make so much money now just to survive with the fact that, you know, food's gone up, cars are going up. You know, now it's very common for you to spend $40,000 US.
Yeah.
I know it's more in Canada. It's like $50,000-$60,000 in Canada for what should be just a regular car. And of course, the answer that I hear at that is, well, it's because cars are, you know, more expensive to build and they have all these amenities and features and stuff. And I'm just kind of like, okay, so what would happen if you built a car? Let's say you built a Corolla today, like you would have built it 20 years ago. Oh, we wouldn't do that. It's like, okay, but you could. I know that crash regulations have changed and, like, you know, all this stuff, but a Corolla doesn't need a 10 speaker audio system in it. It needs a two-speaker one in it. It doesn't need to have turn-by-turn navigation. That's not required by a government.
Yeah.
You know, I do believe, though, that, like, tire pressure monitoring systems are not required, so you have to have those. That's a good feature, safety feature. Obviously, airbags, but you only need two. You don't need eight. And I'm just saying, like, I really sound like get off my yard right now, but it's just more of like a thought experiment of like, but what if we did that? What does that look like right now? And the problem is like, when someone does try to do that, they go too far in that direction, and then it ends up being a boo-boo box. I was going to say something else, but I don't want to have to put the E up again for this episode. it's a boo-boo box, and it's no, this is not what I was talking about. I didn't mean a two-seater with a little thing in the back. Like, that's not what a Corolla was 20 years ago. A Corolla 20 years was a four-door sedan with two airbags, a radio, sometimes power windows, sometimes power door locks, sometimes, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
And everyone had one.
Yeah. 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 It's, I also have, I don't know why this, well, it's because we're talking about vehicles, but this kind of brought something up in my mind here that I had a question for you based on somebody that lives in New York City, which has, what was it? I watched a video on it. A video by Casey Neistat. I always butcher the name. I think I said that correct. But anyways, about New York City and their bike lanes. But you've got a massive amount of bike infrastructure in New York City. What is your, this might be like, listen, if we go into a deep dive, we go into a deep dive. But what is your take, and how do you take how would you approach a city that has a car-centric mentality, right? Where it's very, let's say, a heavy car culture, right? Or a car focus. What is your take on approaching a city like that and getting them to maybe shift their mentality towards better options, whether that be better public transport, reduced lanes on certain roads to increase bike infrastructure? What's your thoughts on that? And how would you approach a city that's very, very car heavy, but you want to approach it and get those people to allow you to, you know, take lanes away from cars and get them back to cyclists or even pedestrians, or even close down a block to pedestrians only? If that makes sense. I'm very curious your take on it.
It makes sense.
Sorry, I know it's a loaded question, but I'm just very curious to hear your take on it, because I have, my own thoughts on it, but yeah, I want to hear from you, you know?
It's not loaded. It's just that it depends on where are we taking those lanes away from, and
right.
It's a complicated question and answer.
So would you,
I know of
do
an
you
example
like,
of this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's Houston, Texas, but they're not taking away lanes and giving it to bicycles. They're taking away tracks and giving it to bicycles because it's old train lines that aren't used anymore. And so they're converting to the bike paths, where you have these massive highways that go through the city now, and you can like ride long distances on a bike.
Houston, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's mainly for recreation, but I mean, I guess you could use it to get from one place to another. They kind of, in a lot of cases, go from nowhere to nowhere. So you kind of have to get to them, and then you could use it and then get away from it. So it may not necessarily, it's the city, it's you know, it's a Band-Aid. And I mean, I'm not even sure if it's a Band-Aid. I think it's not even really answering that question, because it's for a different purpose. At least that's what it originally was thought of.
Right.
You know, if you're taking away car lanes to give to bicycles, I think anytime you take something away from something and dedicated to something else, you need to make sure that that's actually serving a purpose, and it's not just doing a thing because people like it, like light rails.
Exactly. You mentioned about the and I've seen this too, that they're doing this in New York City as well too, which is like the two-way bike lane, and then taking a lane either that's a parking lane or it's a lane of traffic as well, and giving that back to bicycles. That's been a, so I love that personally. Like for me, I love that. I think that's a brilliant idea. Like there's no, but I live in a city that, and I don't know how to compare it to New York City, but I live in a city where parking is readily accessible. You don't need a street parking anymore because we've set up the city in a way that all the parking is done underground and there's plenty of lots. We have very few surface parking lots now. A majority of them are being converted into public green space that anybody can access, which is also really cool. But you mentioned on that too, like, do you, it seemed like you don't like it, or what's your take on that one? Because that does seem to be a popular move from many big cities now, is let's just yeet like a parking lane or a lane of traffic and give it to cyclists.
Specifically for that.
Hit me with it, Joan. I'm ready.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of bikes to begin with.
No.
No, I'm not. I would rather have a well
thought out. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Urban Theories. I'm curious. Yeah,
I would rather have a well thought out and planned mass transit system and infrastructure network where you could take mass transit, mostly the long distances and the short distances. You could just walk, and you know, bikes are kind of like basically saying that there's a problem that we don't have enough mass transit.
Okay. Interesting.
That's kind of how I look at it. It's ideological. It might work in some cases. I think it's mostly recreational. You know, it really does not address the fact that not everyone lives in places that you can reliably bike all year. And I know that some people really try to like shrug that off and say, it's fine. Most of the time it's fine. I'm just kind of like, I don't think it's like for anyone who yells at Houston for not having enough bikeways that are actually usable to go back and forth to work. Have you been in Houston between April and September? and of course that's really kind of calling out another problem, which is the fact that there's not enough good flood mitigation infrastructure, and they have a ton of infrastructure to mitigate floods, and it's still not enough because the land use hasn't been appropriated correctly, because there's too much concrete where there should be marshlands where it can soak up the water, and instead it just runs into bayous and it overflows into streets and blah blah blah, and it rains too hard, and I get all that, you know, and it's just, it's not, if it's like, are we trying to go forward or backwards? What are we trying to do here?
Right.
If you're going to then point to a city that, you know, has all kinds of people who bike on it, but they're in the same case, and it's like, yeah, they bike in, but then like their streets flood, and like, you know, the people that are on bikes are wading in waist deep high water half the time throughout the year. Is that going forwards or backwards? Like, and if we want to go backwards, how far back do we want to go? So, because remember, the good old days for some people are the bad old days for others, and going backwards isn't necessarily what some people want to do, which may kind of first start to explain some people's mentality behind certain things.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't want to do certain things because they say, we've been there and it wasn't good for me, and I'm in a better place now because now I have my Mercedes. Anyway, so it's that's why I'm saying it's complicated, it's difficult, and I don't think that just taking away lanes and giving it to bikes is the answer, because all you're doing is you're just pandering to people that are going to put you in office next year. That's all.
Well, Okay. Interesting. Good take.
Sorry. I probably didn't go the way that you thought I was going to go.
but it doesn't even matter. It's like, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear from you, because it's like, I have my own thoughts on it, but my thoughts come from somebody that's very like, I'm pro bike. I'm not Like, okay. Do I use a car? Yes. Yes, of course, because mm-hmm. it's just, you know, welcome to 2022 in most cities, you know.
But why are you pro bike though?
Because I bike. So, yeah, I mean, like, so when I first moved down here to Vancouver, and I didn't know anybody, right? It's like, yeah, you know your coworkers, but you've just met them. You're not going to go out and grab a beer with them on day one. You know what I mean? It's like, I've just met them and I don't know them. And I didn't know anybody in Vancouver. You know, it's like I was born in Vancouver, yeah, but I grew up in Kamloops. And I moved when I think I was 10 when we moved. So I was, you know, I'm not super young, right? And coming here, I didn't know anybody, but I knew that the city had bike infrastructure, right? Like, we don't have, growing up in Kamloops, British Columbia, for those listening, search it up on Google Maps if you want to check it out. It's a small town, Okanagan, little desert city in Canada. They don't have bike infrastructure and you don't feel safe biking there. It's gotten a little bit better, nowhere near like Vancouver, right? But
that's,
you know,
sort of the thing that sort of leads to like the problem that I was talking about, because doing that says either you don't have good mass transit or you don't have a good city fabric to
both
to promote parking, to promote walking, or both, right? If people don't feel safe walking, or they don't feel like that there is a place to walk to, or there isn't something that's going to take them where they need to go after they've been walking, then that's kind of part of the problem.
Yep.
So how do we get there? How do we reimagine mass transit in a way that works in cities that already have a non-urban fabric, or they have one, but it's like not great, where they're trying to get there? You know, like, for instance, subways don't necessarily make sense in Houston either, because of the fact that the water table is so high and it rains so much that the subways would just end up becoming their own bayous in themselves every time a thunderstorm passed over. You know, stuff like that. I think when people think of overhead trains, they think of either the L in Chicago or they think of very expensive monorails. And I feel like that there's something in between where it's not super expensive and overly done like a monorail and not really, you know, efficient, but it doesn't have to be loud and obnoxious and big. Like, there might be something, you know, different there. You know, as much as I rag on light rail, they do have their place, but a lot of times when we do light rail in this country, which I've mentioned in the past that a lot of major cities in the US either have or are planning a light rail network, or expanding it out, it's not really to serve a purpose. It's not to serve a purpose to get people moving. It's to serve a purpose of getting home values moving in the upward direction.
I see.
So, because that's the stuff that people want. People want to move to a city where it's cute, and then they have like a place where they can go to, and they have a light rail that they can get onto, and then, like, you know, it's the idea. But then those same people move to that place and then they go, well, I want another condo, and then they get like another condo, and then that one they rent out, or they stay in that condo but they have a car anyway and they never use the light rail because they say, well, the light rail only runs during the times when I don't use it, or it doesn't go to the places that I want to go.
Yeah.
And so, but they're still paying for the money that the light rail brought in to make that thing expensive, and now they're not even getting all the benefits out of the place that they're not utilizing all the benefits that they came to use in the first place that drew them there.
Yeah, exactly.
And they forgot why they came. So, you know, I don't know. I could be way off base here, but I think that there's a lot of truth to that. And I think that there is, I think that the truth lies somewhere in between. And we got to figure out how to, I think the one thing that we all do agree on is we all agree that our cities need to be rethought. We need to rethink the way that we're building them because they're not sustainable, especially the way that we build them in North America, like in the US and Canada. They're not sustainable in that way. And we got to figure out both how to move about in them and in between them in a better way.
Yeah, I would say so. 100%. It's very, I mean, like, we had the perfect sample of it where it's like missing middle housing. It's missing middle mm-hmm. density can serve such a great purpose in pushing us in the right direction towards affordable housing for everyone, not just certain people, right? And mm-hmm. yet I live in a city that has marked that housing, which is proven to give affordable housing to a mass amount of people, you know, varying in income levels. The city of Vancouver has banned that. It's illegal to build that, even though it's proven to help, and, you know, help in this housing crisis that you hear everywhere because it's in every city, right? And yet the city's banned it, and it's just so, yeah, it's very interesting because you're absolutely right. It's like the way that we're continuing on here in Vancouver is not sustainable, right? You can keep saying, oh, we're the greenest city. Vancouver's so green. It's so bike friendly. It's so this. And it's like, yeah, for sure. In the downtown core, you understand that the whole Vancouver is not just downtown. Downtown's super green, super walkable. Yeah, right.
So green.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then they'll take pictures of just the downtown. And it's like, yeah, here's the thing. Can you turn that camera around and let's take a picture of what's behind it? but, you know, yeah, it's just I get so heated on this, but it's just because I'm passionate. Like, I, you know, people have heard me rant about it for how many episodes on Urban Theories here. Right. But I'm passionate about the city at the end of the day. I love it. So it's my muse, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Everything is a photo op. The light rail system, that new building that goes up in a poor area that, you know, has 30 affordable housing units available in it. You know,
dude. Okay, how about the fact that, like, so affordable housing? Yeah, they'll do stuff like that. The forms, like the stuff you have to fill out and like the steps you have to go through to even considered. For that affordable housing,
get me started on that,
right? But then they'll use it. They'll still use it and be like, "This is affordable housing for people." Like, they'll, you know, they do a press conference, right? And media asks, "Hey, you know, what's going on with affordable housing?" Oh, we just built, you know, 200 plus units of affordable housing in this district and this district.
Just fill out this paperwork that you needed to be able to afford a degree to be able to understand.
And you're
going to
get declined. Yeah, and it's, oh my god, it's like, if people aren't going to fill it out, you know, it's too much stuff, or they don't even have the stuff to fill it out. It's like, you need this, but, you know, said person who's trying to get affordable housing doesn't have this. Oh, nope, sorry, you're not eligible. Try again, you know, next year, whatever. And it's just like, dude, what? But we still have nice cities of the downtown. You know, if they distract me with nice bike lanes.
Exactly.